This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the October 31st edition of InvestTalk. It's Halloween, last day of October. Above average investing for the average investor. That's what we're here to help you with. Try to help you make the best difficult money decisions you can make. And some of them get pretty complicated, as you know. Now, when it comes to investing, the challenge is to stay focused on your goals, not to get distracted by a stock tip from your brother-in-law. You don't want to be, you know, maybe you don't want to offend the guy, but you don't want to buy into his choices, okay? That's not going to help you. Not. From time to time, we help you define investing terms that can be important, some more than others. Here's one we couldn't resist. Considering today's date, it's called the Halloween Strategy. You ever heard of that? The Halloween Strategy. Well, it's known by other names, too. So what is the Halloween Strategy? A Halloween Strategy is an investment technique in which an investor sells stocks before May 1st and refrains from reinvesting them into the market until October 31st. In order to increase capital gains. Okay, so this 12 months of the year, 6 months are the best months, 6 months are the worst months. So that's all this is the 6 months of the worst of the year that are the worst, you avoid the market altogether. You sell. Get out. And then today, October 31st, Halloween, you reinvest your money for the next 6 months. You stay in the market. So that's where the phrase go away in May came from. It refers to the 6 months between May 1st and October 31st, go away in May. And it's really based on the seasonality of stocks. And it has, you know, if you look back over decades upon decades upon decades, you'll see that, yeah, that is true. The worst 6 months of the year are indeed worse than the best 6 months on average. And it's significant. It's not huge, but it's significant. Okay. Now, what money matters are you mulling over today? Let's open up our 24-hour listener line and check for questions. And here's one that came in before today's program.
Hey, guys. This is Dan from Seattle. I had a question. I have a regular job where I have a 401k. I don't come anywhere near to maximizing the $18,000 contribution. I have a Roth IRA where I put $5,500 in a year. And I recently started a side business with an LLC that became more profitable than I was planning. So knock on wood, hope that continues. So I was wondering, what would you recommend doing with money from my self-employed business? Is there anything, any kind of way to put that into a 401k? Or should I just maybe contribute more from my employer and then keep the self-employed money for something else? Or I just wanted to see if there's any way that anything to do with my profits from my business that I could put them in a, you know, tax untaxed account like a 401k or a Roth. All right, thanks for any input. Appreciate it.
You can open up a SEP IRA, SEP, a SEP IRA, which allow you to put up the $18,000. You can also open up a individual 401k. That's more difficult, more paperwork, and you might be better off doing the SEP IRA. So, you know, you can do that. Obviously, you could put more money in your regular 401k. You can max that out, and you know, but I would probably do the SEP IRA simply because you can open up any brokerage account, and you can invest in any way you want to, whereas your 401k at work is probably very limited of your choices of mutual funds that you can buy. So I would do the SEP IRA. That would be what I would do for the self-employed profit that you're making or income or whatever it is that you're making. And that would probably be the easiest thing to do. Just go to any brokerage and tell them you want a SEP IRA, and they'll open it for you. So what's on your list of topics, at least for today? As a behavioral economist, he studied the way we actually think and act, instead of hewing to some wrong-headed theories. Nobel Prize-winning formula. Four ways to boost your savings. That's our main talking point today. Remember, people invest using emotions, and that's what this Nobel Prize winning theorist concludes. And we're going to talk about that, okay? Sometime this hour anyways. 10-year low in savings rates. Why? We're at a 10-year low. Why? Why are we at 10-year low? Things are looking great. Wall Street strategists' top five worries about the stock market. Wall Street strategists' worries. Okay, they're top five. And if Halloween is not scary enough for you, here's the number one financial fear for most Americans. Those are things we're going to talk about. I had to put a little stuff in there about fear and Halloween and stuff. Got to get in the spirit here. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. The market was up today. The Dow was up 28. The NASDAQ was up 29. The S&P was up 2. That's not very good. 2. You know, these indexes, especially the Dow and the NASDAQ, they're getting pretty distorted by the higher price. Do you remember the good old days in the 90s and before? They would split stock prices all the time and keep them in, you know, the 30s, 40s, and $50 range per stock. Have you noticed that stock splits are rare these days? Hardly ever. Ever. Well, what does that do? Like Google's Alphabet Inc. is selling for $1,000 and $1,016 a share. Well, when indexes are price-weighted and you have these huge price shares, it does distort the indexes. No one's really talking about that at all. You got two ways that they do most indexes, and that's either price-weighted or market cap-weighted. Okay? They have indexes that are equal-weighted, but those are equal-weighted, but those are rare. It's usually price-weighted or market cap-weighted. And so you need to know which indexes, how, doing what. So, and it's been thrown off since they don't split them. They let their stock prices go up and up and up. And that kind of just distorts some of the indexes because these big stocks control it. They control where the index does, up or down. And not necessarily reflecting the entire group of stocks in the index. Especially the Dow, it's only 30 stocks. They're 30 big stocks, but it's kind of skewed a little bit. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk. A scam alert. You may get a phone call from someone who says they're from the Social Security Administration and they need information, like your Social Security number, so they can issue you additional funds or rebates. Stop that. Never give that information over the phone. No one from Social Security is going to call you with that, ask for that. No one. It's a scam. 888-99-CHART is our number for any money questions you might have. We're going to go talk to Jay in Sunnyvale. How are you doing, Jay?
Good. Jay? How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, actually. Thanks for your service. And I have a comment. I have a couple of comments on the previous caller's question, right?
Sure. So sure.
I did open a individual 401k for my wife. It's actually pretty simple. You do it with Fidelity, it's only like one form every few years you need to update it. And with that, you can also buy the stock, so you don't have to. You know, you don't have to buy the mutual funds. You have option to do either of them. And it's okay. Actually, Fidelity, it's pretty simple with Fidelity. So the advantage is, you know, he can contribute more, right? More on an individual 401k
right.
Versus...
Yeah, 18,000 or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
So 401k, that's a... Go ahead.
And the company can, you know, he can contribute, his company can contribute, right? So he'll have a lot more limit, lot higher limits, actually, compared
right.
to... And the other thing I know is 401ks are a little bit better protected compared to IRAs in some states, right? You know, in case of a lawsuit or something. So even that way also 401k is better.
I don't know. I think there any retirement account is pretty protected in almost all states, but I can't answer that because I'd have to look up the laws in the states, and that's kind of an accounting question, so I'm not sure.
No, actually, I'm making a comment. I read somewhere in some states, actually, 401ks are protected but not IRAs. So overall, if you have if you have same options in 401k compared to IRA, then, you know, it's better to do a 401k. And the, because I did a little bit of research, you know, the other thing that guy can do is, you know, in some cases, he can also open a pension. If he still has more money, he can even do a pension plan. But that gets a little bit complicated. Because he has to
Yeah, as soon as you get into the pension area, it gets much more complicated and much more expensive accounting-wise. And, you know, it's more difficult. But I appreciate the call, Jay. Thank you for the information. I appreciate it. Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, Nobel Prize winning, he actually is a in economics and behavioral economics. And that's how he got his Nobel Prize. And it's all about acting, investing, using your emotions instead of your head. And he, and all of it is saying everything he's, all his research, all his research points to people using emotions to make financial decisions, and they constantly make the wrong ones. And so he had recommendations how to try to avoid it. And they're pretty much in line with what I keep telling you. Don't use your emotions to make financial decisions of any kind. And one of the ways he suggests is always put your savings on automatic pilot instead of trying to buy high, sell low, sell high, buy low. Whatever it is you're trying to do, don't do it. You can't do it. Can't time the market. So he says put it on automatic pilot. And, you know, after a decade or two or three, you will do very, very well. Try not to be influenced by your biases. You know, what you don't like, what you do like, you know, what you think is right, what you think is wrong. You're not, I put it this way. Remember, every time you buy or sell a stock, there's someone buying and selling it to you. What makes you think you're smarter than they are? And then another thing he says, forget the headlines. Don't be buying on what the headlines say you should do. Don't let them scare you. Don't let them scare you either into the market or out of the market. Don't let them influence you for buying into the market or not buying in the market. Don't. That's why the automatic pilot. And he also says, do not get cocky. Those are the four things that he mentioned here. And the cocky part is, you know, just because you picked the stock and it did really well does not make you a genius. Matter of fact, I've said that before on the radio. It's kind of for new people, and they pick a stock, and all of a sudden that stock makes a ton of money, and they think, okay, I'm smart. Now they think they're a genius in the market. That happened a lot in 1999. I had a nephew who was graduating high school back then, and he tells me, Uncle Peasley, I'm known as Uncle Peasley to all my nieces and nephews, Uncle Peasley, I'm going to get into the stock market, you know, because I invested a couple hundred dollars in my senior year in high school, and I did really good. This is 1999. So that's what I'm going to do for a living. I'm going to just buy and sell stocks. I knew that was the end of the bull market. If he wasn't a ball of fire, loved him, still do, but he's not a ball of fire. Genius-wise. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Everything is awesome for investors. Stocks are at peak levels. Bonds are making money despite a round of predictions to the contrary. And what's happened at the start of the year, they were saying it were. Buyer beware. Let's talk about it. Be careful. Reach me now at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. This is Lorraine from Lowell. Hey, I've been buying and selling SKT's Tangiers Outlet. And I had a buy order in at 23.60, and it dropped down to 23.06. The fundamentals on the company are telling me to hold it, and the technicals are saying to get out. So I'd like to know what you think. I want to make sure that the dividend is reasonably safe. I think it is. And Christmas is coming up, so I'm thinking that the price of the stock should rebound. So I'll listen for your answer on your show whenever you get around to answering me. Thank you. Bye.
Tangier Factory Outlet. It is a REIT, real estate investment trust, focused on developing, acquiring, operating, and managing factory outlet shopping centers across 22 states. It made $2.38 last year. It's going to make $2.06 this year, so it's going to go down 13%. Then it's going to rebound next year, it says, to $2.54, up 23%. The dividend yield is 6%. It's a $22.75 stock, so it's paying 6%. So what is that? Like close to $2. And they're going to make $2.54. A REIT has to pay 90% of the earnings out in the form of a dividend. Has to. PE ratio is 10, and the 5-year range is 9 to 23. So, and the sales are growing up 7 to 10% each quarter. So what's wrong with the stock? The problem you have here is debt. It's a debt problem. They have lots and lots of debt on these REITs. So I think people are worried about that debt. Management owns 5%. So it broke below is support. And, you know, if you're going to just use technicals, you get out. But I wouldn't necessarily say that because it looks like a fundamentally strong company. It has, you know, a good return on equity. So I'm thinking, you know, that's pretty decent. Even though they have lots of debt, cash flow is $3.30. It's lots of cash flow. And debt, well, it's a REIT. And they're developing, acquiring, operating, and managing factory outlets. So they're, you know, they're developing and they're borrowing money to build out these things. I probably just hold on to it for the long haul. It's a $2.1 billion stock, and it looks fairly fundamentally sound. Fundamentally sound. Okay? Symbol is SKT, by the way, everybody. SKT. So I'd probably hold on to it. 10-year low in savings rates. It was in the news today. Oh, my goodness. Why? Why is that a problem? What's happening? Well, and, you know, you would say, most people would turn to them and say, well, why is that happening when everybody's employed and making money and things are going pretty good? And that's exactly why it happened. When people do well, they feel financially secure. Think about their 401ks and their house, their property values. They spend. And they spend more than they save. The rate is now 3.1%, lowest since 2007. That, the Commerce Department reports that, by the way. And that's two times, it was two times higher in 2015. So there is a problem here. In 2007, it was bottomed out, okay, and then it started rising again. So now it's not doing so well again. So why did it happen this month? Well, think about the hurricanes. People bought cars. And what's interesting, remember how you can lie with statistics or just not tell the whole truth? Well, this is a case in point. Okay, people bought cars because of the hurricanes, right? Lots of cars. And what the Commerce Department says, okay, if you buy a $30,000 car, that's how much you spent that month. Even though you financed it over 6 years, they're going to count the entire amount of the car as spent that month. Okay? Even though you didn't spend it. So that means the savings rates goes down. Even though maybe it didn't, the real life situation is not dealt with, which is most people finance cars. They don't pay cash for cars. The Commerce Department doesn't count that way. Don't you think it would make more sense if they said, okay, wait a minute, did you finance that car or did you pay for it cash? If you finance, how much do you pay a month? And then figure that out. But of course, that might be more difficult than they want to go through the effort to do. So that's why the savings rate dropped to a 10-year low. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's the way you can get a hold of me. Love to talk to you. Market's been on a multi-year bull market phase. We're going to talk about that this hour. And about the scary part, the number one thing that scares people, Americans, the most. Coming up on tomorrow's Invest Talk, taking action in a passive investing world. That's tomorrow. What's your topic today? My direct line is 4 to 5 Pacific time at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, we'd like to invite you to sign up for our next wealth webinar, How to Find Income and Value in an Overpriced Market. So if you're looking for income, there's a way to uncover the sources. And if you're looking for value for the long-term investor, Steve and Justin have bargain hunting techniques to share. So here's what you'll learn: how you can tell if a market is over or undervalued, how to find income opportunities, how to create an income portfolio. So join us. It's a live webinar Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. There is no cost. All you do is register, and we'll send you the link to join us live. And because it is live, you can ask your questions anytime during the hour. Sign up now if you'd like on investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab and then Webinars. Now let's get back to the podcast. This is Invest Talk, 1 hour of financial news and perspective, where you can talk directly with a registered investment advisor. Bring your questions. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Dennis in Tracy. How are you doing, Dennis?
Very good, Steve. Thank you for taking the call. So my question was regarding the Apple. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so my question was regarding the Apple stock. That thing is like a rocket right now. So what do you think it is headed to? And what is this baseline support here if it falls below something to watch for?
Okay, this baseline support is about 150, okay? Between 150 and 155, that's where the support numbers are now. The lowest it would probably go is about 145. And it's broken above the most recent high made in September yesterday, and it continued on today. So it's what we would call a breakout at this point at $169 a share. And if you listen to the radio at all, I was telling people way back when it was around, me and Justin both, when it was about $100 a share, we were adding to our clients. And that was a year ago. And that's when you really should have been a buyer of it. If you own it, you just ride it. If you don't own it, you can buy here and just pretty much be a momentum play based on the new Apple 10 phone, which is selling pretty hotly, even though it costs $1,000. You know, it's already, pre-orders are, you know, skyrocketed. And the people who have been looking at the phone had a lot of good things to say about it. They had it, there was issues, but mostly good reviews about the phone itself. So, you know, now what's going to happen is the Apple stock will move up for a while and then be in doldrums for a long time again. But it's always been on an upward trajectory. It's, you know, biased to the upside for some years now. So, who knows? Do you own it, Dennis? Do you want to buy it?
No, I do own it. And today, then, Piper Jaffray analyst said that they're setting a new target at $204 or some number like that. So I was a little, hesitant. Yeah. I said, where do we sell? You know, I mean, what is the point to sell? Where do we sell it if we need to get out?
Yeah, you gotta watch out for the analysts. They're always over excited about. Remember who they work for? They work for Wall Street. You know, they want everybody to get excited about things. They want you to be buyers, and so they always have a bias of high prices. Doesn't mean it won't go to 204. I think it will too. I think it'll go up to 250 at some point, but I don't know when, Dennis. I just don't, it could take another year or two. You know what I'm saying? I don't know when.
Okay.
But right now, everything's in its advantage. Okay.
That makes sense. Again, thank you for your time.
Thank you for calling, Dennis. I appreciate it. It was Apple, AAPL, everybody. Apple Computer. They're not Apple telephone. They're Apple computers. Apple Inc., actually. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Wall Street strategists' top five worries about the stock market. These are Wall Street strategists agree that these are the top five worries about the stock market. I'm going to share them with you. The first one, number one, is geriatric bull market. Geriatric means it's really old. 8 years without a significant pullback. And that's very unusual. We usually have a bear market phase within, you know, two or three of them by this time in a bull market. We're in a secular bull market right now. And there's usually 8 years into a secular bull market. And by the way, secular bull markets last from 9 to 25 years. And we're 8 years in this one, and we haven't had one cyclical bear market. And normally there's a couple by now. We haven't even had one. So that's one worry. Another worry, too much exuberance. 48% expect Goldilocks scenario, meaning the economy is growing and we have no inflation and everything is just perfect. Third, no volatility, longest ever streak without a 5% retraction for the S&P 500. No volatility. Number four, Federal Reserve policy missteps by maybe raising rates too soon, too fast, or not raising them fast enough, something. And the last one is Trump. President Trump's plan for tax cuts doesn't work, or his Obamacare thing is, which doesn't work, and what about its infrastructure? What if that doesn't work? You know, what all these things, you know, so it's a presidential problem. If he doesn't get, I would tell you this, if we don't get the tax cut in there and be what the market expects, you're going to have a correction then. Market expecting a tax cut. And a pretty decent sized one. And they built that perception into the prices of stocks right now. So it has to happen, or else the market will see a bull phase, a bear phase in the market, I think. Let's go to Joe in the Bay Area. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Steve. This is a question on Ellie Mae.
Uh-huh.
Hello? Yeah, I just want your opinion on that stock.
Okay, hold on. Let's take a look. Ellie Mae Inc., everybody, it's out of Pleasanton, provides electronic mortgage origination services through a network connecting over 136,000 professionals and lenders. Okay, $3 billion company. They're going to make $1.53 this year. That's down from $1.85 last year, and then they're going to rebound to $1.67 next year, down 17% this year, and then rebound 9% next year up. It's almost a $90 stock, $89.95. So we'll call it a $90 stock. It was growing in double digits, except for the most recent quarter in September. It's the September quarter. This most recent quarter, it only grew 7%. Okay, so, but before that, it was growing 16, 26, 48%. I mean, it's huge, huge sales growth. And now it's cut down. I'm not sure why. And I would really want to like to know why all of a sudden their growth rate is not looking very good when, if you think about it, right at the time when the housing market is still pretty good, pretty hot, why are their sales down or not growing as much as they used to? What's the problem? That's what I would be focusing on. Return on equity is pretty good, but it's we're talking about a PE ratio of 50. You know, $90 stock, they're going to make $1.67. That's pretty expensive stock. Even though it was $112 stock, it dropped one day down to 86, 87 and fell further all the way down to the almost hitting 80 and then now starting to try to come back at 89. It makes me nervous. I'd probably stay away from it. Looks like a lot of support around $80 to $82 a share. Lots of support. So I don't think it would go below that. But it's a pretty high risk, Joe, because it's expensive. Okay?
I see. Okay, Duke, I appreciate your comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Ellie is E-L-L-I. No dividend, by the way. Let's go to Monica in Menlo Park. How you doing, Monica?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm just wondering what you think about the stock market, MRK. And I have it since 2011 and just finally kind of took profit or should I hold on to it?
So what do I think about the stock market in general? Is that what you asked?
No, no, no. I'm just saying that I have it since 2011 and it's regarding the stock market. The pharmaceutical company, MRK.
MRK, okay. Let me take a look at it. I have a little difficulty with the connection. That's my problem. But let me take a look at MRK for you. It's Merck. Merck & Company developed, you know, they're big. You know who they are. $150 billion size. That's a mega cap. So you're not going to get a lot of growth out of it. You're not ever going to get a lot of growth out of a stock this big. But you will get very solid dividends, and it pays a 3.4%, and it's growing its earnings 4 and 5% this year and next, so that's solid. Sales are kind of on the flattish side, not too much growth, no shrinkage, up 1%, down 2%, up 1%, that kind of thing on a quarter-to-quarter basis. So they're flattish, and they don't have a ton of debt. It's a well-run company. The P.E. ratio is between 11 and 18. Notice it's very narrow. That P.E. range is narrow because it's a big blue chip stock. It's very predictable. Everybody knows what it is. So it fell from, $62 down to $55. And I would say this, Monica, this probably will set itself up eventually to be a buy point. It may go down to the high 40s. So I would wait to let it settle, go sideways, and start back up before I buy it. But you're getting a pretty darn good, if you're going to buy something for a dividend, a big solid company that's not over expensive, not too expensive now, this is around the price you'd want to pick it up. If you own it, it's too late. I wouldn't sell it. There's no reason to sell it because it's already fallen. You know, so you know, might as well just hold on to it. If you want to be a buyer of it, you wait. Okay, and see if it settles down and where that number is, and then you pick it up on the cheap when it starts back up. Okay, Monica?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Merck, MRK, everybody. MRK. Let's talk to Gary in San Jose. How you doing, Gary?
Good, Steve. So I'm looking at Crown Castle.
Yes.
GCI. So I look at it, it's got a pretty high P.E., but a 4% dividend. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it does. You're exactly right. It does have a – yeah, it's a big company, $43, $44 billion in size. Crown Castle, CCI is a symbol. They're REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, that owns wireless towers. And this REIT has always been expensive, Gary, always has been, because – of the stability of the income, because
right.
It's always going to have income because you need those wireless towers and you need more of them all the time. So, and once they put them up, they have that.
That kind of, I look at that and I go, wow, that's really up there.
Yeah. Because everybody, I think it's expensive. There's no question about that. But that's why it is. I'm just trying to give you, they're growing 7 to 9% every quarter, you know, for the last year and a half or so in sales. They're going to make $1.06 next year, $1.08 the year after. So not much growth in earnings. And they're paying 3.9%, pretty low return on equity at 5%. And therein lies the reasons that I probably would not buy it. It's too expensive for the PE of 88. But the PE in the last 5 years has never been below 54. It's always been expensive. I can't bring myself to buy it. I just can't.
So here's my
Go
question.
Ahead.
We have an advisor for part of our family. And so Our advisor is buying that. And I didn't make any questions because I didn't even look at it. So after he bought it, I'm looking at it and go, wow, that's really up there. I mean, it looks like it's reasonably safe. It's not going to go bankrupt, but do you think it can maintain that PE?
No. This is your best best what it can do, Gary, what it can do, okay? It could go flat for a long time and letting the PE catch up with it because the E will keep growing, right?
Yeah,
that it can do, and then, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, you can have another really big growth spurt in the price. I can see that happening.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see it.
All right.
But you have to have a lot of faith in it to buy it here.
Okay. And what is that? What is the range on the PE?
It's 54 to 276. So he's buying at 88, which is kind of... It's kind of on the low end of the range.
So we're on the low one third. Wow.
Yeah. So if you look at it that way, you say, it's pretty reasonable. But for me, I just can't bring myself to paying $88 PE ratio. I just can't.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's me. I have a bias.
I agree.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks for the call, Gary. My calendar is full for my San Jose visit, by the way, on November 8th. Packed. I'm surprised I'm packed, but I am. But we can meet. We still can do it via Skype or telephone for my individual retirement review. So, you know, the holidays are coming and it's difficult to meet with people during the holidays. People are busy. So, but we still can meet via the phone or Skype. Reserve a spot anytime you want, really. Whenever you're ready, just go to investtalk.com. Let's go to Ruby in Santa. How you doing, Ruby? Santa Clara.
Hi, Steve. I'm doing good. I hope you're doing well. So, this is regarding the stock AT&T with the current price. What is your opinion to get into this? I have some stocks already, but the current price I would like to buy. I want to add more into the stock, my portfolio.
It looks like last 5-6 days, it looks like it's hit a bottom. I might wait another week or two to see if that develops more into a bottoming action, and this is where you'd buy it. Robbie, this is where, and for everybody else, the stock was at $39 a share at the beginning of October, and now it's 33. So it's fell pretty hard. This is AT&T, symbol T. They pay a 5.8% dividend. The P/E ratio right now is 11, and the five-year range is 11 to 16. Sales are shrinking 1 to 3% a quarter. They're going to make $2.92 this year, then $2.93 next year. Boring, but it pays 5.8%. And do you think AT&T is going to go out of business? No. So, Robbie, this is where you want to buy it, but I'd probably give another week or two to make sure this is a bottom that it's putting in, okay?
Yeah, but the sales volumes is going down, but last 4, 5, 6 quarters. So
yeah.
What is your opinion on that?
Yeah. I think that'll stabilize. AT&T is not going anywhere. It's going to stabilize. Appreciate the call. Thank you, Ruby. You're listening to Invest Talk. We have just a few moments remaining in the hour, but there's still time for you. Reach me now with your questions at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin and Steve. This is Daniel from Orlando. Not giving you a call about a certain stock, but just a general question on what I should do actively now. I currently have money in my Roth IRA. I have some money in a traditional IRA. And right now it's not in anything. I sold my mutual fund after taking a 10% return for the year. And kind of the plan was to be to, once I get $10,000, transfer that into a Vanguard Admiral shares. Obviously, the market's pretty high right now, and I just don't want to put all that money right into the market at such a high valuation. I don't know if I should look at some cheaper stocks, which I have been, and I'm decent at analyzing companies, but I'm just kind of timid of putting my money in my Roth and my traditional IRA towards single stocks, and I'm not sure if I should do that and wait until the market gets to a better valuation or really what to do with my money. So, just background, I am 25 years old, and I have the rest of my life. Thank you.
Okay, the first thing I would tell you is don't try to time the market. You can't. Don't ever take all the money out. You can always hedge, take some out, but basically, especially at 25, basically you stay in the market. You stay in the market. That's the smartest play. Now that you're out, now the difficult part is, well, how do I get back in? When do I get back in? And that's very difficult. If you're a very patient person, you can stay out until the next recession, whenever that comes. 2-3 years from now. I don't think it's going to come next year, but maybe the year after. It depends. It's hard to know. It's hard to predict. But you can wait till the next recession and then reinvest all the money, and then next time leave it alone. Don't get out. Or maybe a smarter way is maybe dollar cost average into the market. Divide the money you have up, in tranches, and just buy the same amount of cash into the market over the next month or two. And if it corrects, it corrects. It doesn't. Once you're in, just at 25, really, you should stay in most of the time. And you should be, stay in. And if you're nervous about the market because you think it's pricey, stay in, but then just start new money. Just put it to the side and get ready to invest it when the next best opportunity comes along. By the way, that's the way Warren Buffett does it. People think, he just buys and holds. Well, he does. He buys when there's recession. He spends a lot of money when he sees deep value. Then he just sits on the money as the insurance premiums roll in, billions of dollars, and he'll wait for the next recession. That's the way he does it. And if he finds something compelling, he'll buy it. But notice he's not buying much recently, in the recent couple of years. He's having a hard time finding value. Who isn't? We all are having a hard time finding value at this point. It's Halloween! Everybody, today's Halloween. So get ready for your trick-or-treaters. But if you're not scared of Halloween, here's the number one financial fear for most Americans. Number one, I got five of them, I think. Four of them. In order. Number one, this is a survey done by WalletHub.com. Okay, what fears for individual Americans? Here's the number one. 26% said unplanned financial emergency. That's our biggest financial fear, an unplanned financial emergency. Number two, and that's 26%. Number two, 20% said loss of a job. Loss of a job. So a lot of people are not worried about losing their jobs, apparently, but God, I would think that would be number one. And number three, 11% fraud, being taken for something. Someone's taking advantage of you. And number four, poor credit scores. Top four. So it's unplanned financial emergency, loss of a job, fraud, or poor credit score. I don't understand that one, by the way. Poor credit score. Why would you worry about that? I'm not sure why you would worry about that. But people do. The Game 6 of World Series on tonight. I'll be rooting for Houston because my brother-in-law is manager, coach for the team. So I'll be there. Can't wait. Everybody else, make sure you give the treat to the trick-or-treaters. You don't need a trick. I have plenty of candy. I'm ready to hand it out. Time to wrap it up. A reminder, our sign-up is now open for the Wealth webinar coming up November 16th at 6:30 p.m. It's an hour Pacific time, 6:30 p.m. How to find income and value in an overpriced market. Pretty timely, I would think. If you're looking for income, there's a way to uncover the sources. If you're looking for value for the long-term investor, we have bargain hunting techniques to share with you. Sign up now on InvestTalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Glad you could be with me today. On behalf of Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, I want to thank you for being part of the program, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.